Hello and welcome back to my podcast. So it seems to have gone quickly, but we're almost at the end of Lent, aren't we? So this Sunday in the Novus Ordo calendar is Passion Palm Sunday. In the old calendar, simply Palm Sunday. But here we are, just about to begin Holy Week. I just want to share a bit of liturgical history with you. In the ancient Roman Church, now of course remember that the first 350 years of the Church were times of persecution, so we don't know everything about what went on at that time and the liturgical life of the Church. But we do know that soon after that, and perhaps therefore it was being done during that time, there wasn't any season that we call Lent then. That came a little later. But there was a more intense two-week time of fasting that led up to Easter morning. And when Lent came along, this was kept, and it gave rise to the last 2 weeks of Lent being called Passiontide. That is the time of concentrating on the passion and death of the Lord. One of the ways this concentrating on his death and resurrection was done, and still is done, involves what has been called a sensory of the five senses, a sensory fasting, especially of the eyes. All during Lent, we are progressively losing liturgical life, to put it in that way. Things are being hidden, or things are being lost. And there's an increasing sense of loss as we approach Good Friday. So back at the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, the word Alleluia disappeared from the sacred liturgy. Flowers went, decoration of the church should have been very minimal, if at all. Music should have been pared back to the bare minimum, not like it is on every other Sunday of the year. And from last Sunday, the crucifix, the statues, and images of the saints are either removed or are draped in purple. Further, after the Mass on Holy Thursday evening, the Blessed Sacrament is removed from the tabernacle, and the tabernacle, our Holy of Holies, is left empty and bare, the doors opened. And then soon after that, the altar itself is stripped. It's unadorned. And on Good Friday, there isn't even a Mass. And for a long time in our history, there was no Holy Communion on Good Friday. And so we arrive at the beginning of the Easter Vigil with all of that loss. And then we find ourselves even deprived of light itself. It is as if the Church herself is suffering and were completely dead with the Lord in his tomb. This liturgical death of the Church, into which we are all called to participate, reveals how Christ emptied himself of his glory in order to save us from our sins and to teach us who we are. The selection from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which is the epistle at Mass, is one of the key passages in the New Testament. It is a meditation on what theologians call Christ's kenosis, from a Greek word, his kenosis, or his self-emptying. God the Son came to earth not in the form of God, but in the form of man. He came not in the form of a great man, but in the form of a humble man. He came in a form so humble that he permitted other men to put him to death. He did this out of obedience to his Father. This is how Christ redeemed us and became the exalted Saviour of the world. The Council of Trent emphasized the unique character of Christ's sacrifice as the source of eternal salvation and teaches that his most holy passion on the wood of the cross merited justification for us all. And so the Church venerates his cross as the instrument of our salvation. And veneration of the cross forms a key moment in the sacred liturgy at 3 p.m. on Good Friday. I'm sure you've noticed it too, but what always strikes me most about the Palm Sunday liturgy, particularly the reading of the Passion, is the sudden change in mood that occurs among the population of Jerusalem. First, the people cheer Hosanna with great enthusiasm. Jesus is welcomed as king with branches, and clothes are even placed on the path in front of him so that he does not come into contact with the dirt of the road. And a few days later, the exact opposite happens. The exuberant jubilation turns into abysmal hatred, and Hosanna becomes crucify him. Instead of the waving of branches, there are blows of scourges, the crown of thorns, the cross. Jesus is stripped of his clothes. He hangs naked on the cross, exposed to all eyes. And above him is the plaque, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It is interesting that Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, that is, the animal of simple country people, and moreover, a donkey that did not belong to him, that he had borrowed for this occasion. He did not arrive in a luxurious royal carriage, nor did he arrive as on horseback, as the representatives of worldly power do. But on a borrowed donkey. And where did he go? He didn't go to the palace of Pontius Pilate or that of the high priest. No, he did not go to the representatives of worldly power to demand his crown from them. He did not go to them to be crowned king over Israel. Jesus does not want to rebuild a kingdom based on the old model. He has come to found a kingdom that does not belong to this world, but is in the world. He has come to complete all those covenants of old and to perfect them. So as we enter into Holy Week, I encourage you to make this coming week different from every other week. It's the only week of the year that we call holy, by the way. So let us make it holy. Maintain and perhaps reinvigorate your Lenten devotions and prayers, your Lenten practices and penances. Go to the liturgies of the sacred 3 days, the Triduum. Invite others to come with you. In doing all that, you will inject a character of holiness into your workplaces, your families, your holiday activities, wherever you are during this week or next weekend. Sometimes the laity underestimate the power they have to sanctify the secular world. The clergy and religious cannot be where you can be in the world. The vocation of the laity is to take Christ and the faith into the world by their witness and by their words. By words, don't be afraid to speak of Christ and the meaning of his passion and his resurrection. We are his messengers. He wants to reach out to others through us. A simple way this can be done is that if someone calls one of the days of this week by the wrong name, for example, I've heard some refer to this coming Friday as Easter Friday. And of course, it's been a mistake for some time to refer to the coming Saturday as Easter Saturday. You could correct them and say, no, it's Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Because Easter only begins on Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. It's not being picky, but standing up for the Christian truth that a lot of people have never heard. Likewise, if the conversation permits you, you could express your disappointment or a stronger feeling if you have it, that sporting fixtures now take place on Good Friday. For us as Christians, it is a solemn day, not just another public holiday. Today, let's promise Christ our King that we will accompany him through this Holy Week and enter again into the saving actions of his passion, death, and resurrection. O Jesus crucified, for us you suffered, for us you died on the cross. Amen.